Amen. Thank you for those beautiful songs for the entire song service this morning. We sang that song after singing that song about how wonderful it is and how God has blessed us and is blessing us. Then the best is yet to come. Salvation is good and was good when we first received it, but just think, to be with Jesus forever and ever. Sometimes things in this world causes us to look down and not look up and look at the past, which some of it's good, a lot of it's not because of all the sins of the world, and we get tired and then despair and we become the despondent. But then when we start thinking about the future, not on this earth, because not much to look forward to down here, I suppose, not as much as there is in heaven. But we want to talk this morning about the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last year, about this time, maybe a little bit earlier, began a series of messages on the nucleus and tried to explain how God had formed matter and everything, and then we realize that he is the center of everything. The Old Testament portrays Christ as the future coming babe in Bethlehem, which he was. It portrays and pictures Christ dying for our sins and arising. We looked at that last Sunday, the resurrection. But it also pictures the Old Testament and the New Testament about the next coming and appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then the New Testament also reveals that Christ was born in the manger in Bethlehem. It reveals to us that he did die for our sins, and as we looked last Sunday, he was resurrected. He ascended. But it also teaches about the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the next thing we're going to look at. A lot of scripture this morning. I did not give the people back there a copy of all the scripture I'm going to use, though it may be much because it might confuse them. I may not use all that I intended to. I may use more. And if I give them a list, it would be... So they'll just listen expectantly as you and I do. Look at the first thing we want to look at is in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. We all can look back and see in the Word of God how Christ... Everything in the Scripture, remember the Scripture is given for inspiration and reproof. It's given inspired Scripture, inerrant, infallible, for our instructions. And everything the Scripture portrayed and said has come to pass and will come to pass. Look at the next thought. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This hope is the very center. Christ already had been explained that he is the center of the universe. His suffering on the cross was foretold. He was before the beginning, and God the Father has given him all power over all principalities, over all powers. He is the center. And you and I have been placed in the center of his will if we have repented of our sins and come to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and accepted what he's already done at Calvary, then we are eternally saved. But our hope is in the next coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's our hope that Lord Jesus Christ will come again. Six different things I want to look at this morning as hurriedly as I can, but I want to also go as slow as I can, because this is so important. I don't want you to miss any of it, because this text that we're going to read, these texts that we're going to read, outline and show us the pattern and everything in steps has going to transpire. We always want to look at the future. Well, he is our future, and if you're looking at him, then we'll have great expectations of his soon coming. So the first thing I want to look at is the expectant. The expectancy of the return of Jesus Christ. That's our hope. We expect him to come today. We realize he could come tomorrow, but there's nothing hindering him from coming today. Hell, I know that because of the scriptures. Listen to the text in Mark chapter 24, verse 3. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, the disciples, remember, were followers of Jesus, and they were asking him, they would say to him after he rose again, what are the signs of your coming? They said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom for Israel? They thought that he had come because Israel, remember, was in bondage, much like you and I and our sins, we were in bondage. And they were thinking, the whole nation of Israel that believed in Jesus, thought that Jesus was come to restore them maybe to the promise or even more than they had in the time of Solomon, the great temples. But that's not why he came. He came to restore that which was lost. In Adam, all men die. But in Christ Jesus, all men will live. So they asked him. And he told them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. He's pretty much telling us it's his business and not ours. Now, if somebody asks you a question and you start getting a little pushy or nosy with them, they might say it's not your business. And that would probably set us back a little bit because none of us like to be told that because we don't want to be caught prying where we ought not to. But the disciples ask a fair question. Lord, will you restore the kingdom? And then, when are you coming back? And he said, it is not for you to know. But he gave signs. He said, in these type situations we're going to go through. And we looked at, look at Mark chapter 24 and verse 3. Now they were on the Mount of Olives with Jesus Christ. And they came to him and asked a question. It's good to ask questions. He knows all the answers. And the scripture says, they came to him privately. Isn't it good to go to the Lord privately? It's good that when we can pray in public and he hears, and other people hear. Sometimes and most times it is so wonderful just to go to him privately. Ask a question. And the question they asked, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus responded to that question, as he always does. And he gave a lot of statements. We're going to look at some of them. He told them about different signs it's going to be in the last days about his return. But look at verse 4 and 5. This is his direct response. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. If we look back the last several years in history, and we don't know all the history, we just know a little of it, there have been many that have come and pretended to be and tried to say that they were Christ. And Jesus said that would be the way it would be. Scoffers, a lot of people is going to come and try to deceive many, and many have been deceived. But Jesus said, don't be deceived. When I come back, you will know it because I'll come and call your name and you will meet me in the sky. And verse 6 and 7. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and the kingdom and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in many places. And the scoffers, agnostics, infidels would say, well, there's always been earthquakes, and there has. And there's always been pestilence, yeah, ever since Adam sinned. And there's always been wars, yes, always have. But Jesus said they're going to be on the increase. Have you noticed in the last few years, the news media reports, and they go back in history, and the rain they had was a record amount. And the winds they had was a record amount that we've ever accumulated. And the earthquakes and the pestilence in record amount. It is on the increase, as Jesus said it would be. Now, see, we have those scoffers today, and they understand that, and they realize that, but they don't want to attribute to the fact that Jesus foretold it, and God is bringing it to pass, because man has sinned, is sinning, and man won't repent, so God is bringing these pestilences and these judgments on our nations, and on our nation in America. Make no mistake about it. And they've always got an answer. You know what their answer is then, Tim? Man-made global warming. You know why they say that? Because they don't want to give God the credit. They think that man is in control. And if man does certain things, the waters will cease to be record. And they think that somehow if man can do a little bit better than the earthquakes and the pestilence and the wars, but Jesus said it will be. You know, man tries to get it all figured out. You know, Jesus, sometime we're going to be talking about that a little bit. And you know what? The once we leave, thousands, no doubt, hopefully millions of people, when he calls, their name will disappear. And the world without Christ is going to be going through the tribulation. And they will have an answer trying to figure out where we have gone. Have you noticed anymore they're talking about aliens and space and everything? And I don't know what their answer is going to be, but we know it'll be a lie. But they'll try to say, they won't admit the fact that we've gone to heaven and they've missed it. No, no, no. But when the tribulation comes, they will no doubt start changing their mind. So there are wars on the increase. Everything is on the increase. Why? Because these, Jesus said, are signs of the last times. Verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The increase we see in all these things. Used to, when Sandra and I traveled across our country and all the state capitals and prayed, I don't remember ever, this is 10, 15 years ago, ever even look at the weather forecast to see what the weather's going to be. If God said, you know, go to Washington State, whatever, we just went. But anymore, when we go, we're looking at what the weather forecast is because there's tornadoes and earthquakes and floods and stuff, and I don't want to be caught up in the middle of those. It wasn't like that 10 or 15 years ago, nearly as bad, because we have never in all our travels been in a place where there's even danger until last spring. We're almost in the middle of a hurricane for the first time ever. They are on the increase. Jesus said that is a sign of the coming of a Son of Man. Look at that word, and these are the beginning of sorrows. Sorrows mean like a woman has birth pains, the same sort of thing. A woman has, us men, we don't know what they've gone through, but if you've been around a woman, you know, she starts those birth pains, and they get worse and seemingly worse and worse. And all the sorrows we have today and all the floods and everything, that's just the beginning. But that's a sign of the coming of the Son of Man. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Look at verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Not only is it going to be physical signs, there's going to be spiritual signs. And you just watch, I don't very much, some of the, I don't throw off on preacher, I'm not even going there. But you've got to be careful who you listen to. It's up to God. If he calls someone, that's his business. If he didn't, it better be their business, because people are saying they're a call of God and trying to start all kinds of new doctrines and everything. But Jesus said, beware. They're going to be on the increase. And in my lifetime and yours, they have been on the increase. Look at verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Jesus said in Luke, when you see these things, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. And we see all these things happening, and they're on the increase. And iniquity and the love of many shall wax cold. And even people that are saved, or they say they're saved, it seems like they have less interest in the things of God than they used to. But I'm persuade to believe by the word of God that those that's really born again, God is putting within their heart a drawing power, and so there is an expectancy of the soon coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the second thing I want to talk about is the immigration of the saved. We hear much about that word today, immigration. There's always been immigration. Back in the Bible days, Abraham and his wife Sarah went down because there was famine in the land. And then we see later on in the Word of God, Jacob and his family went down to Egypt, and there's migrations, always have been. And then you and I are here in America because our forefathers, somewhere back, migrated over here to America. And now we read the news, people are migrating from South America to Mexico and here. Migration. There's going to be a, that's all man-made, and it tends to be pretty slow over a period of time. But there is going to be a migration of the saints of God instantly from this earth to a place called heaven. Let's look at the text together. Because not only is there an expectancy of that to happen, but there is going to be a migration of immigration of a saved. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. So thankful that he's not just going to send an angel after me. That would be all right if he did, because an angel would be a wonderful thing. It's sent from God. But the Lord himself, the groom, is going to come after his bride. How will he come? He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When you hear those words, as they're read, or as you think about them, ask yourself a question. And that'll help you know if you're going or not. Does that give you comfort? Does that give you fear? If it gives you comfort, remember we're talking about the soon coming of the Lord and Savior for Jesus Christ, and there is an expectancy for that to happen. And we expect it to happen, and it will happen. And Jesus said the signs of it we've already read about, but he said he's going to come back, and he's going to come back with a voice, and he's going to shout, and everyone that's saved will hear his voice. And if we're alive, will be caught up forever to be with the Lord. As many of you know, about 3 years ago, I fell and had surgery and had to put a steel plate in my arm with screws. And now that steel plate hurts a little bit, and I go back to the surgeon. And the surgeon says, well, maybe we ought to take it out. And I said, well, I was expecting maybe for it to drop out on the way to heaven because it's man-made. And that will be painless. And I don't want to have another surgery. He said, well, you know, if you leave there and it causes damage, you could cut a tendon. Well, that's not good. One of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come with a shout. And those words give me comfort, because I know it's better up there than it is down here. And if you're saved by the grace of God, there is an expectancy that he put within you that's expecting it to happen. You're longing for it to happen, to be with the Lord and forever be with the Lord. And then the third thing I want to look at is the examination of the redeemed. After you go to school, it's about that time of year for boys and girls. Young men and women, as they're in school, kindergarten through college, test time, examination, to see what they've learned this year, to be able to evaluate. Now, the way we're going to be called up to heaven, if you're saved, you're going. But once we get there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 tells all about this. Now, the judgment seat and the evaluation and the examination will be according to the deeds you've done for Christ. Not whether you're saved or not. If you're saved, you're saved. You're going. But then up there, you see, there's a judgment seat of Christ. But all your sins are gone. When you got saved, all the sins are gone. You have to repent. You had union with Christ Jesus. But then we go through life and we sin and make mistakes. And to have communion with Christ, we ask forgiveness of our sins and he restores to us. But the seed you sow are going to come up. So let's look at the text and let it do explain for us. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. This is the examination for the redeemed once he calls up to heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. For we must all appear, every one of us is saved, we must all, that inclusive. I love to, in the Word of God, when he puts a word on my heart, I love to go and look at every time he uses that word in the Word of God. And if you look at all, there's a whole list of places he used all. But the meaning of it, every time is the same, 100%. Doesn't say partial. Every time you use the word all of us, that means everyone that's called in heaven, all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. It's not to say if you're saved or not. If you're saved, you're there. But this is reward time. Because he'll look back, and you and I, so many times, a lot of us, you know, I don't know about you, but me, you think you're doing something that God wants you to do, and really, he knows your motive. And sometimes, if you're checking and you're honest with yourself, you might be doing it for self-promotion, or you might be doing it for the wrong reason, because no flesh shall glory in the sight of God. And that which we do for him, and for exclusive for him to bring him glory and honor. Remember, that's what our life is here with Christ and God. And our life should be bringing glory and honor to him. But there again, there's going to be a reckoning day, a day of examination, that all the deeds that we've done will be that's wrong, that we did for the wrong reason. Although they were good deeds, it's like wood, hay, and stubble burn up. But then that which we did for the cause of Christ and him alone, for his glory, will be as gold tried in the fire. Examination time at the great wedding day of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's doing that. And there won't be any appeals. And there won't be, because he's a righteous judge. There is an expectancy. There is an immigration. There is examination. But let's look at a couple other verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells about that wood, hay, and stubble, and whether or not it's gold, silver, and precious stone. Our works, we're talking about, and he's a judge of our works. Not just what we did. Some of us probably aren't doing anything for God. And he's going to be judging that too. What have you done with your life? Been saved 5 years? 40 years, 50 years, going to look back and have an examination. I saved you, I secured you, I kept you, I prospered you, I did all these things for you, and yet we come up almost empty. Examination time. And that will be for the rewards. Some will be saved just as by far. They're there, almost nothing, sometimes nothing done for the cause of Christ and his glory. What a shame. Good that we know that now, isn't it? So we can, if we haven't been serving him like we should, we can ask him to forgive us, which he will, and give us a new opportunity to serve him more. But this, on the fourth occasion, is going to be an exciting time as we've never had before. Sometimes things are exciting in here, birthday parties, wedding anniversaries, children being born, on and on. We have a lot of exciting times, but let's look at the exciting time that we're going to have an exciting time for the redeemed. Let the redeemed of God say so. If we're redeemed, we're there with him. And yes, we'll go through the examination. Then look what happens. Revelation 19. Exciting time for the saints of God. Remember, he's a groom with a bride. I love to go to weddings, and I'll just have to admit it, women love to go to weddings more than us men. Women like to adorn themselves. They're the bride. And all the attention is not on the groom. You know, he's up here and nobody much is looking at him. Everybody's looking at the bride. It won't be like that in heaven. All eyes will be on the groom. Oh, we'll have on our wedding garments. We won't be the focal point, I'll guarantee you. Every member of the bride, which is you and I, all attention will be on him. The one that secured us. The one that found us. The one who reached down into Mars and pulled us up out of Mars of sin and cleansed us from every stain of sin and put on a wedding garment and clothed us with his righteousness. We don't have any of our own. He's got enough to spare. He clothes all his saints with his righteousness. So that day in heaven, as we get there in the judgment seat, we're all judged. Now there's this table. We're all seated at the table. And the Lord Jesus Christ, our groom, we're watching him. He's serving us. He was a servant down here. He came to die for our sins. But look at the text in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 through 9. Let us be glad. We're talking about most exciting time of our life for the redeemed of the Lord. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know who's going to be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb? All those who have repented their sins, and he has saved us, written their name in the Lamb's book of life. And then when we expect that, and there's going to be a migration from this world quickly up there, and we're going to be there for the examination, but now the most exciting time of our life, to see the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory, to be able to understand and realize even more. Now Paul says, I look through a glass darkly, but then face to face, all eyes on the groom, the righteous one. In closing, two more things, actually. We're going to look at the elation of the bride, how wonderful it be, this consummation. Before that, I have to deal, I don't have to, it's a duty to be honest with the scriptures, about the excessive suffering and great tribulation for all those people that were not called to the wedding. Remember, if you're saved, you're called. But millions and millions that's in the grave eventually will be called. But right now, after the 7 years tribulation, it's going to be a judgment. But after we're called to heaven, while we're up there for the examination to see what our rewards will be, and while we're having this great feast adoring the groom, Christ Jesus, let's get a glimpse down here of all those suffering individuals that will be here on planet Earth for 7 years going through the great tribulation. Don't have time to cover it very much, just a couple of verses. Matthew 24:21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as what was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, not ever shall be. See, the Antichrist will be reigning. Is the Antichrist alive now? He very well could be. Don't really matter to me. A lot of people spend a third of their life or half of their life trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. The Bible tells us all we need to know. He's a man of sin. A man's going to come and Satan's going to give him power. And all the people on earth will suffer bad enough to go through the great tribulation. But now he will portray himself as God and give them a mark, and they'll have to serve him, the imposter. Who it is, the Bible tells us the light of the encasement, we don't know, nor do we need to know, but he could be alive today because the Lord's soon coming. And that 7 years down here while people are suffering, and this is the reason I mention this today, it's in succession at the same time happening while we're in heaven. People you know, and God forbid some of you today, you talk about the wedding supper for the examination, evaluation, for the great banquet for beholding the groom. But if you're not saved, you won't be up there. You'll be down here going through a time of sorrow such as not before the beginning of time, suffering. You can't even imagine the suffering going through. Why would you want to do that when you can be summoned to the wedding forever and ever? Lastly, back to us, we're up there with him. The elation of the bride, consummation. Look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Revelation chapter 20, he tells about 1,000 years reign. See, after he comes back with us, now the first time he comes, he's going to come in the clouds. We're going to call our name, the trump of God. We're going to be called up. The lost, they won't see him that time. But then when he comes back after 7 years, every eye shall see him. And all the saints that died with that Lord will be called up out of the grave. And those that still live, and everyone stand before the judge of all eternity at the great white throne judgment. And then he will cast that hell into everlasting darkness, wailing, and the worm dieth not. Then listen what happens to us. 1,000 years we'll reign with Christ. If we're saved by the grace of God, we'll be able to go as he goes. You go to Alaska, or you go to China, wherever he bids you go, you're there that fast. There's no limitation. And the sting of sin is gone. The lion will lay down as a lamb. 1,000 years of peace. Then look at verse 11 of chapter 20. Revelations. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. In verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Then back to 2 Thessalonians, and we're closing chapter 2. So important that we have the precious word of God, we understand. The great tribulation will be over. Hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And we'll be with the Lord that 1,000 years. But then look at Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. As the Lord Jesus Christ reigns, we'll be reigning with him forever and ever and ever. Everyone stand, your heads bound. If you come, please, to the piano, organ, play whatever God puts on your heart. Time of reference. Pray for those which are lost. You heard the precious word of God, it changeth not. A simple overview of what's going to transpire. Right now, we're on planet Earth. He's in heaven beside the Father, ruling the world. The Father soon. We've seen the signs. We do not know the day nor the hour, but when the Father says, he'll call our name. Question, are you redeemed? Are you saved? Will you be going? forever be with the Lord, or you will you remain here? If you can honestly say in your heart, there's kind of a leap within my soul when I think about the expectancy of his soon coming. And I know when he comes, I'm going. Or is there the sadness or despondency? You're not sure. And if you're not sure, you can be sure. When no one's looking. If you're in that number and you do not know, would you just raise your hand and be honest with the Lord? I don't know if I'm saved or not, or I am not saved. Would you raise your hand? Be honest with God. Lord Jesus, you see every heart. You know every thought. A time of salvation is now. After you come and call the saints home, too late. They've heard the gospel. If they won't repent while the Holy Spirit's dealing with them, and the Holy Spirit takes us to heaven and is up there with us, the Father and the Son, there's nothing to draw men to you. And if they won't hear and be saved now, they won't be saved then. Now is the day of salvation. Lord, I pray that you'll prick hearts. Convict hearts as only you can. Let them know, Father, that they can come to the altar of repentance and be saved and be kept by the power of God. Your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life only because you have mercy on us. You give grace. And thank you, Father, for the stillness of the hour, for the Word of God, for the drawing power of the precious Holy Spirit. I cannot draw him. I cannot save him. No one else can. But you alone can do that, Father, and I pray that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Altar's open. Two more verses. Sometimes people say, if I just had one more opportunity, if I had one more verse. It's another minute I will go. This is your time. Will you come? If you're not sure, you need to make sure. You won't have time in that hour. If your husband's saved and you're not, he will be gone. The world will try to have a reason, but you know in your heart the reason you wasn't saved, or vice versa, or your children or your parents. Only the redeemed of the Lord are going to the place called heaven. Brother Jason, come if you're pleased and lead us in prayer and tell us about the offering. You can be seated just for a minute or two.
So this morning, as we'll have the men come forward here in just a moment, but we are going to be taking up a love offering for Brother Sherman Middleton and his family. He had a procedure and medical procedure, and his wife also had to go to the hospital for a short time, and we're going to try to help them out financially. I hope you prayed over what the Lord would have you to give, and we'll do this at this time. Gentlemen, if you'll come on down, we'll pray over the offering and pray over the dismissal. Do you have anything else? Okay. Once we'll be dismissed, once you give what the Lord's have you to give. Let's pray. God, we are a needy people. There's not been one time when one of us hasn't had one kind of need. There's some kind of need that we've all have, whether it's been for your physical healing, Lord, for a financial help, Father, or for mental and emotional help through trialing times such as death and difficult times in life. And Lord, we know that you've always been there and that you'll always help us and you'll always take care of us. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that we could be like you. That's the reason we're here, is to is because we're Christians, Lord. We're going to try to be like you the best way we can. And Father, we just ask, Father, that we would give right now to help someone who's in need. And Lord, we just ask, Father, Lord, that you would bless every cent, Father, that's placed in the offering plate, dear Lord, to go to your glory and to your honor. And Father, that it would help the hurting, Father. Lord, we just ask, Father, that you'd be with Brother Sherman, and we pray, Lord, that you'd help him to recover. And Lord, we pray, Father, for those who are also going through other trials and other tribulations. Little Carly, we're thankful that she got to come home, but Lord, we know she's still recovering. And Lord, we just ask you to help in that situation also. And Miss Gail, Father, Miss Denise, Lord, we pray, Father, for Brother Bob Silver. We pray, dear Lord, there's so many that I couldn't even name, but Lord, we know that you know each and every heart, each and every name, and Lord, we know that you're able to take care of the problem before it even starts, and we're thankful for that. And Lord, again, we just pray over this offering. We pray, Father, that it would all, everything that's given, everything that's said in this place, everything that's sung in this place, everything that we do and say will be to your honor and your perfect glory. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.